in complete dependence, dear friends, upon our Lord to help us, that we may profit under the sound of his truth as it is applied by the Holy Spirit. So may the Lord help us, whether hearing or speaking. I direct your prayerful attention to the chapter we read, Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, and particular verse 9. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 9. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus spoke so much by parables. Parables which are accounts of events of natural interest, but with a spiritual meaning for the eternal good of souls. By nature, they could not be understood to that end. Oh, how solemn when Jesus speaks of those that are without, that means outside, of those who were given unto Christ to bear their sins and to blot them out as a thick cloud. Unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand. A natural observation, a natural hearing of the truth as it is in Jesus, but no effect upon the heart and soul. Oh, dear friends, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And we are told a multitude shall be outside of those number and go in the broad way which leadeth through the wide gate unto destruction. Oh, dear friends, how earnest should be our prayers that we're not amongst that great number, but amongst those that know the truth as it is in Jesus. Those that have ears to hear and to understand. Oh, dear friends, is that our prayer? Lord, give me an understanding heart from all the things that are written in thy holy word. We can try to understand much in our heads, and we shall be able to understand much in our heads, as we do when we read other books, and be able to speak with the measure of authority upon that which we've understood in our heads, in our minds. But, dear friends, our hearts remain untouched, and the truth as it is in Jesus is not known within them. Oh, that broad way can be a religious way, can't it? That broad way can be a religious way when we attend to many things in an outward form of religion. But inwardly, within our hearts, there is no truth. We noticed this morning when we read what the Sunday school had been taught, the parable of those ten virgins, five wise and five foolish. Outwardly, they were all the same. They couldn't discern one from the other in their outward walk and conduct. The difference was what was hidden within them, in their lamps, in their hearts, as we might say, in the interpretation of the parable. One was empty. Five of them were empty. Five of them had the grace of faith, that oil that gives light to the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. They were possessors of the one thing needful. That when the bridegroom came, or when Christ comes in that last day, oh, to establish that marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven above, only those that are ready, only those that have that grace within them, the knowledge, dear friends, of Christ and Him crucified, only they shall enter in with Him. The outward appearance will be just as chaff then, won't it? Yes, the chaff is necessary as the crops grow in the field. But at the time of harvest, it's of no use. There's only that which is of the kernel of the wheat that is gathered in. Oh, dear friends, what teaching there is, isn't there, in the Holy Word, in these natural parables, as we might call them, that we see in the world around us. I suppose this parable of the sower is one of the most well known of the parables. You children, you know the parable of the sower, I'm sure. Well, you've had it in your Sunday school, haven't you? Where Jesus began to speak and say, "Hearken, hearken, listen. Don't turn away your ears from it." He went out a sower to sow. And Jesus speaks of four types of ground where the seed that the sower sowed fell. Some, he said, fell on the wayside, the footpath, which was hard, trodden down. There's no way you could have any effect there. It lay on the surface. And the birds, the fowls of the air, came and devoured it up. It wouldn't bring forth any fruit for what it was sown, would it? No. It never took any root downward at all. Then those fell on the stony ground, where it had not much earth. It immediately sprang up. See, there was some earth there. The seed did enter into that earth. And that earth would be warm because of the stones round about it, the stony ground, which is heated by the sun. And we know that stones retain the heat even when the sun goes down. And so the earth is kept warm. So the seed landing in this warm soil sprang up very quickly. Jesus said immediately. But it couldn't go very deep down with its roots. You know, when seed begins to grow, the roots aren't very deep to start with, are they? When the sun came up, very hot, there was no substance from the roots to sustain life in the growth. The roots would have got hot as well. They would have shriveled up, and so it all died. And then those that fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up. So when the seed was sown, the thorns hadn't grown up then. They were perhaps very small, hardly perhaps discernible. And the seed took root downwards and began to grow. But the thorns grew more quickly and more thickly. And that would have taken the nature from the roots, from the soil in which it was sown. And so they didn't bring forth any fruit. It was smothered, covered, hedged in by all those thorns. But then there was the good ground. the prepared ground, where the seed fell in. And dear friends, that prepared ground permitted that seed to take root deeply downwards and to bear fruit upwards. A simple parable, isn't that? Oh, but its meaning. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus says, those are similitudes of the heart, our hearts, unto the hearing of the word of God. The hearing of the truth as it is in Jesus. The hard heart, which could receive nothing of the truth. It had no effect upon the hard heart. Oh, dear friends, what are we? Are we hard hearted? You know, when we are young, growing up, like me, I was young once growing up, and when I went to chapel and I heard the preaching of the gospel, it meant nothing to me. My heart was hard. Yes, I read the Bible. I went to chapel, went to the Sunday school. But the word of God never had any great effect upon me. My heart was taken up, oh, with things of the world, not of the things of God. Dear friends, perhaps we are like that. Oh, how solemn, though, if we remain like that. You know, we could have come to chapel this afternoon with hard hearts. Many things can give us hard hearts, for our hearts by nature. Oh, they're hard against the truth as it is in Jesus. They're hard, deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. There's many things that can harden our heart, that we do not benefit from the word of truth. It could be that, oh, we've had some difficulty, perhaps in our daily lives, and we begin to question the goodness of God. We're angry. We're upset. Oh, why has this come upon me? And we come to the house of God and we've got hard hearts because we do not perceive any mercy of God toward us. And although the minister may preach very much of the mercy of God, it means nothing to us. Our hearts are hard because of our personal circumstances. It may be simple things. Maybe we come to the house of God and something isn't right. Perhaps the singing isn't right. Or this too fast or too slow. Or there's other things which give us a measure of earthly discomfort. And it hardens our heart that we do not listen aright because our hearts are taken up with those things which we're not agreeable to. And therefore we don't listen to that which is spoken. We may have an offence one with another. Something. Or there's a disagreement or a division between one and another. And it affects our hearts. We become very hard. And it fills our hearts at all times that we're in a place where, oh, there's this division and this strife. And we have hardness of heart. And we cannot hear properly the word of God. Satan comes and takes it away, Jesus said. Always a ruler, isn't he, to harden our hearts. That we do not hear the word of God. It may be the minister. Or there may be prejudice against a minister because of something which has taken place. You've heard of them or something like that. And perhaps he doesn't speak in the manner which you would prefer to hear. And there's many, many a multitude of things that can harden our hearts. That means, dear friends, we've got no longing desire to hear the word of truth. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Oh, what a hindrance, our evil hearts by nature. How is it, dear friends, with us when we come to the house of God? What we need are these parables to be interpreted to us by the Spirit, don't we? That we don't look upon them as others and saying, oh, those who are outside in the world, in the drunkenness and revelry and the things of this earthly life on the Lord's day, just attending to their sports and entertainments and commerce and so forth. Oh, they're the ones with the hard hearts. Well, yes, they may well be, but what about us? We want the word to speak to us, don't we? Oh, Lord, be not silent to me, lest I become like them that go down into the pit. Maybe the word has had an effect upon us. The Lord Jesus speaks of this stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. But when hard time comes, difficulties arise, afflictions, or even persecutions for the word's sake, they're offended. They've got no root. They're not deeply rooted in the love of Christ. Or they've received the word, yes, perhaps emotionally, of the things of Jesus, and it affects their hearts, sorry, it affects their minds. And they have a desire to know more and to walk uprightly in accordance with the word of God. But then a trouble comes, maybe a bereavement, a loss of a loved one, maybe poverty, maybe redundancy, a trouble in the family, things not going as one would expect, because one would thought that, oh, in believing in Jesus, oh, one could then expect to live peacefully and quietly all one's days. And when trouble comes, then one turns to one's own mind and one's own understanding, and no different then to the rest of the world who do not believe in Jesus. Go one's own way. Oh, that religion is not for me. I thought it was to be for the good and comfort of my life upon this earth. There's one occasion in my life which I often can't get away from when I read this word of the stony ground. I may have told you before. In the Sunday school where I was, there was a boy who was quite troublesome. He kept making a noise. He wouldn't obey to be quiet. And no doubt his parents sent him to the Sunday school for their own peace and quiet. But there came a time when he was taken, I don't know who by, to a religious convention, and he was completely changed. He wanted to read the Word of God. He wanted to study the Bible. He wanted to go to the house of God. He wanted to go to the times of worship. And a few years later, he wanted to be a minister of the gospel. And in the time of that, and in the customs of that church, he was put with a minister for him to be trained and taught in the ministry of the gospel. He married the organist's daughter. They settled down, they had two children. And then he found his wife was unfaithful. He left her. He was divorced. He stopped going to the chapel. He left the house of God. He remarried. Who he remarried, I do not know. But some years later, I heard he'd taken his own life. He was younger than I was. Oh, dear friends, how solemn. The word received on stony ground. It didn't go fully deep. Depth in faith, in the love of Christ, that he could not withstand difficulties and trials. Oh, dear friends, we have to pray, don't we? That we are not left with a light religion. That we're not just left with a head religion. We need that which affects our hearts all of our days. There are those that are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and they receive it. It takes root downwards. They begin to grow, first the blade and then the ear. But it didn't go any further than that. Because where it was sown, there was still a thorns, which is the curse of this earth, isn't it? When Adam sinned and God cursed the earth, there were thorns and thistles to hinder him. And so we find them today, thorns, thistles, hindering the cultivation of the ground. But dear friends, spiritually, all the things of this world to hinder the cultivation of the word of God within our hearts. Jesus calls them the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lusts of other things entering in. We have to live our lives, don't we, day by day in the midst of this sin-cursed earth. And we are surrounded, yes, as we might say, with thorns. We're surrounded by worldliness, ungodliness. But in our daily lives, we have a need of much of this world. We do have need of money, as we had this morning, the riches of this world. But oh, when that becomes the love of money. And we long just for that more than anything else, for our riches, our wealth, because through that we expect to have peace and safety and enjoyment and comfort, purchasing and buying ourselves out of troubles. The technology of today, you've heard me speak of so much, the materialism, the affluence we enjoy. Oh, how much that has an effect, doesn't it, upon our daily lives, our conduct and our conversation. How much we talk and get involved with those things. In our business, yes, we have to get involved with many of those things. But dear friends, if they go unchecked, they'll grow and grow and they'll smother that which we are taught of God. The beauty of the word in Jesus Christ. Oh, it will be, as we might say, smothered. Jesus says ye cannot serve God and Mammon. Like Laodicea. Oh, they were rich, in need of nothing, they said. They were comfortable. They lost their love of Christ. They were lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. Therefore, dear friends, there's no bringing forth a fruit then, is there, to the honour and glory of God? Oh, how do we view worldly things which we have to get involved in? Do they become the predominance of our daily lives? Do they predominate our thoughts, our words, our deeds? Do we live unto them more than we do unto Christ? Do we value them more than we do the shed blood of Christ for the salvation of our souls? Oh, he that have ears to hear, let us hear. Are these the things which we need to hear? To be told, to be learned, to understand, dear friends, I preach to myself as much as anybody else. They choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. Oh, there's been an evidence, but there's no come testimony. There's no witness to the glory of God of that sowing of the seed within their heart. It's been deadened. Oh, dear friends, is any of us like that? The things of this world deaden the witness and the testimony of the truth as it is in Jesus, which perhaps at one time was revealed in measure within us. Solemn, isn't it, to fall away. But then there's the good ground. These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it. Dear friends, what is good ground? Good ground is prepared ground. It has to be dug over, doesn't it? The barren ground has to be... on a farm with a barren, and it has to be fertilised, and has to be goodness put upon it. The fallow ground, that has to be dug over and turned. That has to be, the clods of earth have to be broken up. It has to be opened up, doesn't it? If it was dry and hard, it has to be broken up to be made it into good ground. All the weeds have to be removed. All thorns and, yes, that which was growing have to be removed, dug up, which was showing there. There has to be the preparation of the heart within us, doesn't there? Of all our sins, all of our transgressions, our earthly nature. All we have to be dug over by God, by His Spirit, to show what sinners we are. And to be made to desire to receive the word of God. Give me Christ or else I die. That's a cry, isn't it, of prepared ground. Jesus, the one thing needful. And on with that prepared heart, that broken heart, that desires to receive the word of God. It has to watch, it has to wait. It prays. Oh Lord, confirm me as one of thy children. Let thy good word of the truth of Jesus be shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. That redeeming love of Jesus. That suffering on Calvary's cross. Oh, that glorious resurrection that gives me hope of eternal life. Oh dear friends, the good ground. Dear friends, when that word comes, dear friends, it comes, enters in. It takes fruit down, takes root downwards in the love of Christ and bears fruit upwards. It grows because the ground has been prepared. The root can go deep in the love of Christ or in that truth concerning his sufferings on Calvary's cross, where he poured out his soul unto death. Oh, we were guilty sinners, but oh, that love, that mercy, that grace shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost given to us, and we become sinners saved by grace. And dear friends, that seed then of the Word of God begins to have an effect upon us. Our desire is to grow in the grace, desire to live to the honour and glory of God. Desire to be a witness of the truth, of the mercy of God unto our soul. And dear friends, we're to be shown to the world. There's corn growing in the field, wheat. And dear friends, we see it. And we rejoice in it growing. So it is with a child of God, where the word of the truth of Jesus grows within continually, as one is taught by the Holy Spirit more and more. Of the depths of the love of Christ. We glory in his name, the Saviour of sinners. But dear friends, that's not just the only thing, is it? The sowing of the seed and the taking root downwards and the beginning to bear, well, first the blade, then the ear, and eventually we'll say the fruit. Because, dear friends, like the ground here, the good ground where the seed was sown, it would be a time before the harvest was come. It would have to pass through many different environments. And dear friends, we know that when we dig a garden, like when I've dug my allotment, the preparation of the ground looks wonderful, clear of all the weeds, But dear friends, the seeds are still there. You can't see them. You know, that's like, I've often thought, that's like our hearts. When we know the love of the truth in Jesus' prepared ground, in our natural hearts, which are still there, that the seeds of sin. And they will spring up. They will want to grow. They will want to come up and choke, even though initially they've been all removed. Oh, we hate sin, don't we? But then as time goes on and circumstances come, they can so readily grow again. The seed is there, hidden at first, but it makes itself manifest in what we think, say and do. We need the heavenly gardener, don't we? We need the Lord to watch over us. We need ever to confess our sins. We need to trust in that shed blood at all times. We need the Lord to come and pardon our sins continually. Oh, to stop those weeds, those thorns, those thistles growing, to smother us. Some of them can be very deep-rooted, can't they? And it might take quite a while for some of those sinful things which arise to be removed from our hearts, those idols, which can easily develop again in worldliness, covetousness. You know, friends, we're of the earth, earthy, aren't we? Let us not forget that. And we shall never be perfect in and of ourselves. And then there's the circumstances of our lives. In this good ground where the seed was sown, before the harvest, there'll be the storms. There'll be the wind. There'll be the thunder, the lightning, the rain, the floods, the dryness, the heat, the drought, and all sorts of circumstances. And so it is in our lives, isn't it? Different times, different seasons. Troubles come, difficulties. The trials of our faith. How do we get through that? Rooted more deeply in the love of Christ. All these, dear friends, the way we persevere is in that rooting by faith in the love of Christ. Trusting in him at all times. Just a little thing here before I close, really. As I've said, I've had an allotment for a few years. There's one who's got an allotment near to me. He said he very rarely waters his own allotment. He just leaves it to the natural elements. And always say, well, what, how foolish, in the dry weather and all that sort of thing. But you know, dear friends, he has some of the best crops of all those allotments. What an example that is of faith. I don't say he's a religious man, but what an example of faith. That in the things which the Lord causes to come, for whatever purpose, to work all those things together for good, that fruit may be brought forth in abundance. And that's what we need in our hearts, isn't it? That whatever circumstances we pass through, oh, to trust in the Lord by faith, to work all the things together for good, that in the end of our days, oh, we have that evidence of the glory of God manifest in our hearts and in our lives, bringing forth fruit to the glory of his name. Living under that lovely fruit which Paul speaks of in the Galatians, of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. No, dear friends, we're delivered from the law when Christ rules our heart by the Holy Spirit. There is no condemnation to those that are in him. Then, dear friends, the need for this good ground, this preparation of our hearts, to receive in power the truth as it is in Jesus. And as we live our lives, to be humbled beneath that knowledge of his truth that he hath been revealed to us. To those that are humble, he giveth more grace. And in the times of trouble, oh, in our faults and failings, to come to that throne of grace. There to obtain mercy again and again. That's how we need these weeds of our hearts to be removed, doesn't it? To find mercy and grace to help us in the times of our need. Well, Jesus is the one thing needful. We without him must perish. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Oh, may these things, these parables, search our hearts. May we not just let them be just portions of natural interest. May we not just think of them applicable just to others. Lord, pray that they'll be applied to our hearts. And as we come to the house of God, dear friends, the next month there are visiting ministers here. Oh, may the Lord prepare each heart as good ground to receive of their word, which we pray the Lord will give them to preach, to be messengers in his message, and none to be sent empty away. Then, dear friends, do pray. Do pray your hearts be made like the good ground, and the servants of the Lord to speak those things concerning Jesus and him crucified and risen again, for the blessing of the sowing of that good seed within your heart. The Lord had his blessing. Amen.